You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
It's really life changing. Yeah.
Some of them are prophetic. They actually say how Jesus is going to look, what he's going to do. Da 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 da. What's your like? I know Psalm 23 by heart. Mm-hmm. That was written by David.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul for his name's sake. Just that one line, he restores my soul for his name's sake. I mean, so what would you want to pick something like that or and take one that's your favorite that you would like to analyze, you know, on air today?
Sure. So I just did this with a group actually at my church in Stowe. We went through Psalm 133.
Okay.
And the idea is they would create art pieces. After we talk about it, learn about it, then they are set free to create art pieces, songs, poems, whatever. So that psalm, I spent about a year analyzing that psalm. And I picked it because I'm like, oh, it's three verses. It's short. It'll be easy. It's pretty straightforward, you know. And so that's the psalm where it says how good and pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the oil on the head of Aaron that runs down the beard of Aaron. It's like dew on Mount Hermon that runs down onto the hills of Zion. And there is where the Lord has sent the blessing of life everlasting. So that's most of Psalm 133.
So this is where Aaron gets the anointing.
Yes.
In Psalm 133.
So this is an interesting thing. So I started analyzing this psalm and I was like, okay, they're talking about the pleasantness of unity and keeping in mind that this is a psalm of ascent. So the superscription tells us this is a psalm of ascent. Now, what is a psalm of ascent?
Psalm of the what? Scent?
Ascent. A-S-C-E-N-T.
Ascent. Okay.
And this was a special type of psalm that the Israelites would sing as they were journeying to Jerusalem. So the Torah commanded three times per year they were to travel to Jerusalem to attend these holy festivals that would take place at the temple. And this was a commandment. This wasn't a, oh, if you feel like it, if you're free at that time, this was, you got to go and be together. And so, and a big part of that was because at that time, this is pre-Jesus, of course, the temple is where, of course, you know, God is omnipresent, but the temple was where the special presence of God resided on earth. And so it was really important for the Israelites to come there to actually meet with the Lord. And so they would sing this song about the delight of unity as they're going to be together. It makes sense, right? But then I started thinking, okay, what is up with Aaron? You know, what's up with this oil? What does he have to do with this unity? And I realized that in this psalm, we have two kinds of unity happening. We have horizontal unity. So that's a unity among people that was especially felt during these celebrations at the temple. But there's also unity between the Lord and his people because they would come together where Zion or Jerusalem was where heaven met earth, they would say. But that was mediated by the priest. At that time, the priest was the go-between between the Lord and the people. He would make atonement for the people. He would present sacrifices and offerings. And so the oil running down the head of Aaron was going back to when Aaron was the very first high priest of Israel.
Now, was this actual oil?
Yes, it was actual oil,
and
too.
And who put it on his head?
Yeah, it was a special oil
that was mixed with
perfumes. Yeah, it was mixed with perfumes and spices. It was very expensive, very sweet smelling.
But who put it on him?
Well, for Aaron, it was Moses. So Moses.
Wow. What a way to get an anointing by. Yeah, no, was Aaron his brother?
Yes.
Oh, so Moses was instructed by God to anoint his brother. Is that because his brother was his mouthpiece because Moses had a stuttering?
I don't know if that's exactly the reason why God chose Aaron as the first high priest, but it could have been. I don't know. Or maybe God didn't want to put everything on Moses. I don't know. But so Aaron here is representing the whole priesthood. And so the priesthood is at the very center of both this horizontal unity and the vertical unity. So he was what made it possible for God's people to have unity with him, which allowed them to have greater unity among each other. And as they did that, they were actually fulfilling the commandment of God to live in peace with one another. If you look back over the laws of the Old Testament, so many of them are just how to live in peace with each other.
You're talking about the different tribes?
Well, no, within the tribes of Israel, yeah. And even just with your neighbor, with your family, with anybody, all the people around you.
This is important because I was a short-term missionary in Haiti and Africa. And, you know, the number one reason why, do you know the number one reason why missionaries come home?
They're missionaries.
They can't get along with other missionaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oy vey.
Yeah. It's absolutely essential. And the Lord knew this. So he would
bless.
The Lord
knew this.
So the idea of the psalm is that he is blessing the people for their unity.
Yeah.
And their unity actually brings greater blessing. So it's this beautiful cycle that's all mediated by the priesthood. And it's just, the psalmists are really good at, you see the shorter psalms and you think they're going to be maybe a little less complex, but the psalmists just cram even more meaning and even more beauty into every sound even. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, is Psalm 133 one of your favorites?
It's one of my favorites, yeah.
Mm.
I have a lot of favorites, though, and it changes usually on what psalm I'm working on at that time. But, yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, I made a big mistake by not meeting with you face-to-face because, this is very sacred. I'm not sure if it's like, you know, there's hidden nuggets in art. And so what you're doing is you're ferreting out the gold, perhaps, that's hidden, and the heart of God and the heart of his followers that's revealed. I mean, I know nothing. You're like a professor and you're talking to a kindergartner. I know that I've had an experience. I know that Jesus is real. I know that I could tell you some stories. I don't even know if I should tell you this stuff yet until we get to know. I mean, literally, I was at an all-men's conference. I'm going to go ahead. I mean, I'm just going to – if somebody's listening to this today, I hate – because it says, cast ye not your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under dirt, you know. You wouldn't throw pearls and put them out in front of pigs. But anyway, so a number of years ago, I had newly come to know the Lord. I'm up on Lake George, New York at Silver Bay YMCA. It's all men. Now, I have to say on behalf of men, when we get together and there's no women around, it's different. We kind of let the guard down, the pride, the false pride, all that crap. And so we got 800 of us all praising God, majesty, worship his majesty. I mean, we were entering in. Now, I don't know what happened to anybody else, but I'm there with my arms up, right, in this really old campground, you know. And it's, anyway, so all of a sudden – I got this thing in my chest. Now I didn't see anything, but if you could see you could see a light coming from heaven. It went right here, and I really entered in, and it was like, "Ow! Oh, you got to stop, Lord! Stop, Lord! I'm going to die! I'll die! I'll die! If you get any stronger." In other words, like he says, even if you see God, you'll die. And it was so strong, it's like, "Oh my word!" You know, and that's happened twice in my life, entering in so deeply that I had to pull back and go, you know. Because it does say if you see God, you'll die or something. So I don't know what you would say about that. And I have other things that have happened to me, you know. And that's why I think this is my belief, that in the end times, I think we're going to see 50,000 people in a stadium. And I think we're not even going to need a preacher. I think if we really enter into absolute, true, sacred worship, whatever that means, not a burden, but a joy because we love him. Mm. Not a burden, not religiosity, not perfunctory duty, that I think we're going to see miraculous healings and a visitation of God. And, you know, you've been studying this stuff. How long have you been studying this stuff now?
Well, Psalms specifically about 4 years, but other than that,
wow.
I mean, it's like 2012 is when I started my master's program. So.
What? I mean, this is amazing because I don't know anybody. I mean, the rabbis, Yeah, half my family's Jewish, but we'll talk about that some other time. But even the rabbis have got to be interested in sitting down with you and conferring.
I hope so. I just got contact information for one of the rabbis here in town. So I am very much looking forward to sitting down with him and talking about these things. And I mean, I have to control it sometimes. Like sometimes I'll be studying a psalm and I just want to like run down the street and grab people and shake them and be like, do you know how amazing this psalm is? So I
Are you taking copious notes when this thing's happening, these revelations to you?
Yeah.
Because it'd be great if you could put a book. Now, there's books for intellects, you know, and then there's books for regular folks like me. So I hope that you'll, you know, because I could just see this little, it doesn't have to be thick or anything, but if it could be some insight, no?
Yeah, I've thought about that, about actually writing a book, specifically how God has used Psalms at various points in my life to teach me really amazing things through my life situations and through the Psalm. But, you know, the goal of the project at Scriptura is to be accessible by the everyday person. In fact, a lot of the folks I work with overseas are not specifically, they're not academics, they're not specifically translators, but a lot of them are musicians and artists.
Yeah.
So, for example, I just a few weeks ago, I came back from a workshop in Cameroon where my team and I.
Now where's Cameroon? I've heard of it. Where's Cameroon?
Oh, yeah. West Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we're working with translators, musicians, and sculptors. So we learned about a few psalms. Psalm 133 was one of them. And then we set them free, and the translators translated, the musicians created songs, and the sculptors made sculptures based on the psalm. And it was unbelievable. Just the beauty and how they express so many of the ideas of the Hebrew in their own culture and in their own language in the way that spoke to their hearts. And it was just unbelievable.
Believable.
So the idea is we're working towards creating materials, and we make videos as well, but just a way to boil it down to here's the basics. And you don't have to know a word of Hebrew, but you can understand what this psalm is saying. So that's the idea. That's what we're working toward.
Yeah, well, this is like, I feel like a starving man in the desert. And I've walked into your tent, and you've got all these tables are filled with, you know, every imaginable food that's available to man. I'm going,
Come back to Stowe and we'll meet in person.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.